in the spirit? Are you looking forward to next weekend? Oh, that was a little bit subdued. Amen. I want you to be excited. If you've made up in your heart that you're going to leave us to do what we're doing and you'll see us on Sunday, I want to challenge you this morning. Change your mind. Come and be with us. Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, when we separate, I don't know if how many of you have been to a Christian camp? Let me see a show of hands. You know what happens? How many of you have been to a Christian camp that wasn't an absolute blessing? Let me see a show of hands. It wasn't an absolute blessing. I'm asking you. Okay. You know, you know why it's such a blessing? Because you make your time available to spend with the Lord. You say, this weekend, I'm going to be with the Lord. You will be blessed. It doesn't matter what the content is next weekend. If you make your time available to be with the Lord, you will be blessed. Amen. And I can say that because I know that my Lord and my King is one who blesses His children. Amen. So please join us. Right, God is busy working in the church in an amazing way. Spring has arrived and we've moved into a new season in the church as well. It's excitement. There's a tangible excitement. People have said to me, they just sense an excitement. Who's sensing an excitement in the church? I can sense it. It's stunning. It's special. We have a new mission statement. Remember what I said? A mission statement is that which we do on a day-to-day basis. Our vision is the to-be picture. So, the mission statement is, in business terms, the as-is picture, and the vision is the to-be picture. So our mission statement is flourishing in faith, and growing in love. We want to be a church that flourishes in faith. Why don't you take it down just a bit on the monitors? That's why I keep playing. Flourishing in faith and growing in love. We want to continue growing in love, and we will show that love in many ways. Our vision is this: to grow and thrive, becoming a church of irresistible influence. Remember what I spoke about, what Ryan is doing? Irresistible influence. Reaching those God has in the city and elsewhere. So we're not going to limit our vision to just here. As we love God, love people, and make disciples. That mouthful. To grow and thrive. Becoming a church of irresistible influence. Reaching those God has in the city and elsewhere. As we love God, love people, and make disciples. They are all wrapped up in our current mission statement, which says flourishing in faith and growing in love. And I want you, church, to acquaint yourselves. We're going to put it everywhere. It's already in the front there. We're going to make it better. We're going to put it everywhere. We're going to put it on the emails we send out. We're going to put it in any documentation you get. Flourishing in faith, growing in love. But you need to understand what it is. And you need to start living it. We need to start living it out. So you're going to see it everywhere. And it must become something we live. Our old vision was to love the Lord and make His love known. Not that different. But we weren't doing it properly. So we've changed it into bite-sized chunks that we can say, this is what we're going to do. And in line with that, we set off on a journey a few weeks ago, and we heard a sermon on letting God lead. He's led us to a new season. We've heard another sermon preached by Shirley. Listening to God. Let's hear God. And the cells will be, or the life groups will be going through that message over the next 2 weeks. Listening to God. We can't go anywhere unless we've heard from the Lord. It's part of our strategy. Unless the Lord speaks, we don't move. And then last Sunday night, Dave spoke about being holy. We need to become a holy people. And I spoke to you this morning about the fact that October is a month of consecration. Coming back, separating ourselves unto the Lord. Dealing with that stuff, the dead stuff in our lives that needs to be dealt with. We'll spend the month of October asking the Lord to make us a consecrated and a holy people. And then last Sunday morning, I spoke about the plans God has for our lives. And I reminded us that our faith is dead without works. Church, we need to be a people that is busy doing good works. Because good works say that our faith is alive. The Bible says without good works, our faith is dead. And remember, I spoke about it. We are saved by faith only, not by works. But it takes faith in our heart to result in good works. And if our lives are not producing good works, then we need to question whether we've got that faith that actually saves us, or whether it's sitting here in our heads and it hasn't gone any further. Do you remember that from last week? This morning I want to speak to you, and I want to continue in the way that I believe the Lord is dealing with us. I want to inspire us to realize that within us lies, each of us lies, the ability to be a hero. As we enter this next exciting chapter of our walk with God, for those of us willing to trust Him, God is going to do extraordinary things through our simple lives. Who wants God to do extraordinary things through their life? I believe it's every one of our heart's desire. We must have, you know, the church, we've developed a vision statement and a mission for the church. But every one of our lives, we know that God has put us here on earth with a destiny. We've got something to do. And we should have a dream, a big fat dream. I've heard it sort of a bag, B-H-A-G, big, hairy, audacious goal that God is going to do, you know, and use us for in our lives. Something that will drive us on in the faith. Something will say, one day when we see Jesus, we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And part of that is saying, Lord, I'm willing to be a hero. Last Sunday morning we said, I'm willing to be involved. I'm willing to be part of the works. We said, here I am, Lord, use me. And the whole church came forward. Or at least most of the church came forward. But now we're going to say, I want to take another step, Lord. I want to be a hero. Now that's quite scary, isn't it? Dictionaries, what is a hero? Dictionaries describe it like this. It was funny. Dictionaries are so sexist. Listen to this. A mythological or legendary figure. Mythological, that's me. I'm just joking. Often of divine descent, endowed with great strength or ability. Or an illustrious warrior. Or a man. This is why I say it's a sexist. A man. Doesn't talk about the ladies. Admired for his achievements and noble qualities. I think some of the ladies are far greater heroes. Think of Mother Teresa. She was a hero. Amen. One who shows great courage. And I found some clips on YouTube that will give us a better understanding of what a hero is, because the dictionaries don't really. And is that ready? Can it come up quickly? Okay, you tell me when you're ready. I'm going to carry on reading. Are you ready? Okay, we're going to play that. Is the sound on there, Chug? Yeah? Okay.
You need to push it. It's coming through the computer, but the cable just stop it. I'm just going to carry on while I do that.
I put together my own definition of a hero. A hero is someone who selflessly puts their own interests, life and safety aside, so that they can assist someone else. Often an act of heroism takes place in a split second. There's no time to think, help is needed, and the hero jumps into action right there and then. The ability to be a hero is wrapped up in the most unlikely people. The most unlikely people become heroes. And a hero never gives up. That's, in my mind, a description of a hero. Think about the mother who dives in front of a truck to pull her child out of the way. Unlikely. An ordinary person performing a heroic deed. Think of somebody, a father who jumps in the sea to try and save his child being busy being pulled out. He loses his own life, but his child gets saved. That's a heroic deed. Unlikely people. Are you too ready yet? Okay. Technology. Okay, the sound not coming. I'm not going to see if you can get it right, and we'll play it just now. A hero is somebody who never gives up in the midst of trials and tribulations. Think about this. If the odds seem so against us, how often do we just give up? How often do we want to just walk away from the situation? If you're having tough times at home, it's so easy to walk away from your spouse or turn your back on your children or for your children to run away and go and stay somewhere else. We give up too easily. A hero is the one who says, I'm willing to stay all the way. I will go all the way. I'll see this thing through. I'll see this thing through. If it's not working, then we must call it quits. Oh, is it back on there? Okay. Not working. Yeah, it is. Okay, we can just, don't worry, just leave. Doesn't matter. I want to tell you about the Bible's accounts of heroes. And most of us know these stories, but I'm only going to pull out some because we've got limited time. King David had his army counted. And God judged the nation for that, and 70,000 people died. But he had his army counted, and do you know how many warriors he had in his army? 1.3 million. I don't even think South Africa's got that many warriors in the army. 1.3 million warriors in the army of Israel in King David's reign. But then you read a little bit further in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and you read about David's mighty men. And it speaks about the 3,000. Was it 3,000 or 300? The 30, sorry. It speaks about the 30 mighty men. How on earth did it come that out of an army of 1.3 million, only 30 were mentioned as mighty men of valor? And then it goes further and it speaks about the three. The three that had great recognition. They were mightier than the rest. How did that happen? Out of an army of 1.3 million. Because there were some people who were willing to stand up and say, I will be a hero. I will be a hero. Church, if this church was full of people, how many of that number? Let's say we can fit 600 in here. And this morning there's about 70, okay? If I've guessed right, maybe less. How many of the 70 here are willing to stand up and say, I will be a hero for Jesus? Now I'm challenging you this morning. Because all of us want to be a hero. But when push comes to shove, let me give you some examples. And I pulled this out of 2 Samuel 23. Josheb Bashabeth, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Eznite because he had killed 800 men at one time. One man killed 800 men at one time. Just think about that. Just picture it in your mind. Picture the piles of bodies around him. It was pretty gory, wasn't it? But one man. Do you know how much strength that took? Yesterday I rode on my bicycle 197 kilometers. I was finished. I think it would have taken him longer than that, than 4 hours to kill 800 men. He must have been finished. Never stopped. He did it. Another one, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. I don't think he was Dof, okay? He wasn't a Dodo, okay? One of the three mighty men, the three that were mentioned, with David, listen to this, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel retreated. David, three mighty men. And the army of Israel, I don't know if it was 1.3 million. Let's say there were 30,000 of them there that day, fighting the Philistines. And the four of them looked around, and everybody had run away. They were left there alone, the four of them. They didn't say, oh, whatever. They carried on fighting. They carried on fighting. They didn't give up. They didn't stop. And they won a mighty victory that day. And you know what happens? It says here, I'll tell you what it says. One of them was Eleazar. He was one of those three. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. His hands, he got so tired that his hand froze around his sword. He couldn't let his sword go. The Lord brought great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to plunder. Church, I want to ask you this morning. Are you willing to stand in the battle with me and Cheryl and the leadership of the church? Or will you desert and come back when the battle has been won to take the spoils? I want to encourage you today. There's much more glory in being involved in the goriness and the blood, sweat and tears of the battle. Because at the end there will be a sense of achievement. And you will hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. I have given you the victory. Not your own strength. God will give you the victory. Amen. And if it takes 2 or 3 or 4 or 30 or 60 or 100 of us, doesn't matter. I want to encourage you to join the battle with us. Amen. And the battle we're fighting is not a battle where we're going to see blood. Okay? It's not a battle where we can see people. Well, we might see people die. And Ananias and Sapphira died. But that's not the kind of battle we're going to fight. We're going to fight a battle in the spiritual realm. We're going to see people get hurt. We're going to see the enemy striking blows. But we are not going to turn our backs and run. Because the enemy will then have won. We are going to face the enemy. We're going to say, we've got this. God is on my side. And I will fight this battle. And we will run this race. And we will be the heroes God has called us to do. And we will do the works God has called us to. We're not going to turn our backs on the congregation. Amen. Well, yes, let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. This sounds a little bit like last week, doesn't it? But it's not the same church. Because what I've said is, we called the army to take their place in the ranks last week. And we came in, we took our place in the ranks. I'm calling us as people to stand up and stand out and make a difference. I'm calling people to stand up and be captains of the hundreds and captains of thousands. And you say, but we don't have a hundred. Yes, we're going to. The Lord gave us a promise out of Psalm 144. And it spoke about the cattle in the field, the thousands and the tens of thousands. This church won't be big enough if we've got a little bit of faith. Amen. We're going to need captains of hundreds, captains of thousands. God wants us to stand here and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be one of the leaders. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'm willing to go a little bit further. I'm willing to stand and become, I'm willing to get involved in the goriness of battles. We'll cast out demons. We'll go to the hospital and pray for people and see them healed. We'll go to the places, the morgues, and we'll pray for people and we'll see them raised. Am I talking rubbish, church? It's scriptural. Jesus, what was his work on earth? He healed people and he delivered them. That's what he did. He loved people. He healed people. He delivered them. Go and read the Gospels. Jesus walked around healing people, delivering. He cast out demons. He healed people. He cast out demons. He healed people. Cast out. His love was amazing. He discipled people as he went. He led people as he went. He left behind, and that's exactly my dream and my vision, to leave behind a people that can do this. And let's say Cheryl and I, who knows? Let's say something happens to us. Let's say we get a transfer, okay? It's a bit early days for that, okay? What will we leave behind? A legacy. That's our heart's desire. And that legacy is you and I. What are we going to leave behind? What are we leaving behind for our children? What are you leaving behind for those in your family that look to you as a Christian? We've got to stand up and say, I'm going to be a hero. Can I hear an amen? I want to be a hero. I'm getting carried away here, and the time is ticking away. Then there was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hagarite. He was the man who fought the Philistines. He took his place in the middle of a patch of lentils. He wasn't willing to let them come steal the lentils one more time. So as the people fled from the Philistines, Shammah stood there man alone. He wasn't even like David with his three mighty men. Shammah stood there on his own and he defended his lentil patch. This is our lentil patch church. We've got to defend this. There is a legacy that goes with this church. We can't let it stay like this. We've got to stand and defend. The enemy for years and years and years has been buffeting this church. And the people are scattered. People have died. People have moved on. But it's time for us to say, I will stand my ground. This church is the place where I've been called and rooted and grounded. And I will pick up the weapons of my warfare and I will war. And I will make a difference. This town is ours in Jesus' name. God called us to it. He says, I've got people in this. Do you think when he told us that he didn't give us the town? He gave us the town. He gave us the city. It's ours. It's ours for the picking. The fields are white. It's going to take up heroes to stand up and say, here I am. I report for duty. In Acts, we read about Stephen. Stephen was a deacon. He was appointed because the apostles needed time to spend in prayer and in the word. So Stephen was given worker work. Amen. But we read about Stephen this. It says about him, In Acts 6 verse 8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. How did a deacon move from that to being a man full of God's grace and power, performing miracles? Let me tell you, you might be a greeter at the door. You might be the person who goes and tidies up in the loos before the service, or sweeps in front of the door. Or you might be a children's church worker. You might be a cell leader. It doesn't matter what you are. God can use you in the same way that He used Stephen. Perform mighty miracles and wonders. It's not just our role to do that. It's your role. You know what? When you stand up and say, I'll do it, you become a hero. Because God can use you. And the kingdom will be glorified. God will be glorified. People's lives will be... Just think about this. What more heroic deed can you do? It's heroic to jump into a river and save somebody who's drowning. How much more heroic is it to jump into the fire and pull out somebody who's busy heading to hell, and you say, come with me, I'm taking you out of here. Amen. How much more heroic can it be? Because in the one stage, you lose your life, your physical life. In the other one, you lose your spirit. And that's more important. Our eternity is more important. We need to stand up and say, I'm going to be a hero. How did such an anointed man start just by being a deacon? He said, I'm willing, Lord, use me as a hero. And then you can go to Hebrews 11, and I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. It speaks about the heroes of faith, but go and read it. Hebrews 11, verse 32 to 38. I'll read you quickly. Out of weakness were made strong. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. Doesn't that talk about a heart that needs to be able to deal with the challenges of life? And stand up and say, I will not be moved. I will be a hero. Let me tell you the story of a lady who lived in the year 202. And my point is this, that Christians have continued to be heroes through the ages. There was a woman by the name of Perpetua. And in 202, the Roman emperor enacted a law prohibiting the spread of Christianity and Judaism throughout the Roman Empire. If anybody was discovered to have become a Christian, they had a choice offered to them, and it was a simple choice. To simply curse Jesus and to make an offering to the Roman gods or to the Roman emperor himself, or to be executed. It was a simple choice. Perpetua was a 21-year-old young woman. She had a newborn baby. She was living in a place called Carthage, and she was preparing for baptism with four other people. One of them was called Felicity, who was also pregnant. And the Roman authorities found out about it, and they were arrested. Now think about this, excuse me, that these people, these four, were preparing for baptism. It's one of the first things you do after being born again. She was a new believer, and she was taken before the courts. They tried to convince her. Her father was a pagan. He tried to convince her not to. They said, for the sake of your child and for the sake of your family, renounce Christ. She said simply this. Her answer was this. I am a Christian. A newborn believer. I am a Christian. She was a hero. I am a Christian. That's all she said. They took her and those with her, and they fed them into a Roman arena to be killed for entertainment. The story goes that they stripped the girls naked. I don't know, there's various stories, but this is the one. They stripped them naked, put them in some kind of a net, and put a wild heifer in there to be trampled and stomped on and attacked by the wild heifer. When that didn't kill them, they stood them up and sent in a soldier, a gladiator, to finish the job, chop their heads off. The guy wasn't well trained, and instead of hitting her head off, he got her on the shoulder blade. She shrieked in pain. She took that blade and put it up on her neck and helped him so that he could finish the job properly. That is the heart of a hero in my mind. And then we see some current day heroes in our own church. I just think of Stacy. You know, through everything she went through 2 years ago, and we've seen her progress. I believe she's been more of a light. She's shone more. Her faith is stronger now than what it's ever been. Amen. Kathy's nodding. She's a real hero of the faith. She didn't give up. She didn't say, oh, woe is me. Most of us would absolutely dread being through what she's been through, let alone her family. But this young woman says, I'm a Christian. I'm going to let my light shine. And then I know I pick on you all the time, my sister. I watch Phyllis with Nick in that place, in the home where he is because of his situation. And this lady walks in there, and the love just shines out of her, and she greets everyone. She kisses them. She says, hello, my scutty. All the while, her husband sits there, Nick, deteriorating, waiting. She goes and says hello to them first, and then she goes to her husband, her beloved Nick, our beloved Nick, and she spends time with him. Her heart is breaking. It's ripping her to shreds. But the light of Jesus shines out of her all the time. I believe you're a hero, my sister. Honestly. Amen. And I'm not saying that to make her seem fantastic. It's just the truth. And God is calling you and I to be heroes today. We went to cell. We visited with the one cell on Wednesday night. And the cells have been going through the Beatitudes. And if you got your Bible, yeah, turn with me to Matthew. And I'm almost done, church. Matthew 5, verse 3 to 12. I want to speak to you about the progression of our faith. It's actually quite amazing, and I'm going to read for the sake of time from the New Living Translation. God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Now, I want you to see the progression there. We start in verse 3. Those who are poor and realize their need for me. In other words, those people who realize they need to be born again. Now I'm going to jump. He blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourn because of their sins. Okay, I'm convicted. Now I mourn for my sins. He blesses those who are humble. What I need to do once I've mourned for my sins, I humbly need to come before the Lord and give my heart to Him and accept Him as my Lord and Savior. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. Now I've given my heart to the Lord. Now I start to hunger and thirst for justice because the Holy Spirit is in me and I'm changing. Now I'm starting to grow. I start to hunger and thirst for justice. God blesses those who are merciful. Now I'm hungry and thirsting for justice, but the Holy Spirit is busy working in me and I'm learning how to be merciful and kind. Do you see the progression as God grows us? And he says, they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. Now I've progressed to the place where he's been working and cleansing my life. The rough crust is off of my heart. He's at work in my life. I've learned to have mercy. Then he says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure. Because it's a transition that's like the caterpillar that's becoming a beautiful butterfly. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace. Now that God has made me pure and mercy is in me, now it says, they work for peace. I must become a peacemaker in my home. I must avoid conflict. I must love people. Peace comes. But as I work for peace, so I receive peace. And anxiety starts to disappear. And God guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So now that I'm working for peace, sometimes when we become a peacemaker, this is where the problem comes in. Because you see a problem in your family and you speak out trying to make peace. And then he says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing that which is right. Because I now start speaking out for that which is right and I start being persecuted. Now, who thought we were going to land up at persecution when we started asking Jesus to forgive us for our sins? But this is the progression. So, if you've given your heart to Jesus, if you become pure, if you start to have the peace of God and seek after that which is right and just, you You start speaking out, people will persecute you. People will persecute you. Who'd like to be persecuted today? Okay, let me ask you another question. Who'd like to grow spiritually today? Let me see your hands. I hate to say that, but you just put up your hand to say, I'd like to be persecuted. Because that's part of the progression of faith. Amen. Ja, pastoor, jy het ons nou getriek. Okay. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Let me tell you this, church, and my point is this. As we grow in faith, we will be persecuted. That's why we need to be heroes. So we can deal with that persecution and not turn our back on our faith and not turn our back on those that the Lord is leading us to tell this is right, to make peace, to say, do you know Jesus? So what if they persecute me because I say I'm a Christian? You know what? The enemy has had the Christians watered down. Watered down. We're so quiet. But I told you that scripture earlier on. Romans 1 verse 7. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And if it means I've got to be persecuted, then I'm going to stand up and be the hero I need to be and be persecuted. Because those lives that God wants me to work with are so much more important than me being worried about being persecuted. So who cares if they mock me? Who cares if they persecute me? Who cares if they lie about me? And you know what happens? If I stand up and I'm a hero and I start talking for Jesus and doing that which He's called me to do, the scripture ends like this. Be happy about it. Be very glad. Lord! I don't want to pray it even. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. I want to tell you, the greatest hero that ever lived was Jesus Christ. He came to this world knowing beforehand what He faced. He came fully God, and yet He came as a man. He went to the cross knowing, because He's an eternal God and He spans time, He knew what it was going to be like. But He did it for you and for me. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He's the ultimate hero for you and for me. Maybe this morning you are sitting here and you need to say, I need to give my heart to that man that gave it all for me. May the Lord speak to you. May you give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've been challenged. You stood here last week and you said, here I am, Lord, use me. Maybe you didn't realize that it was going to take being willing to be persecuted to do that. Maybe you didn't realize that as you grow in the Spirit, that there's going to come a day when you're going to have to deal with persecution. My call to you and my encouragement to you this morning is that you rise up as the hero that God has given you the ability to do and be the hero that you can be in Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand with me. You know, Jesus, in Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is down at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, I want to preach about heaven, about the fact that we got a future, about the fact that we got a hope, about the fact that one day, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be! Amen. That's what I want to preach about. But I first needed to preach about, are you willing to be a hero? Are you willing to face the persecution? When we go out into this town, into this city that God has given us, we're going to face some challenges. Amen. The enemy's not going to like it. Gaan jy daai ding speel, my poppy? I don't know. You know what? We're picking up the truth of the radio on this. I want us to close our eyes. And with all eyes closed, I want to ask you this morning, I want to challenge you. Maybe you've never received Jesus. Maybe you need to set out on that walk that I spoke about, about in the Beatitudes. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, but you need to give your heart to Jesus. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. Yeah. Is there anybody here who needs to commit their lives to Jesus? To say, Lord Jesus, I want to give my heart to you. Amen. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? I see those hands. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to come forward. I'm going to pray with you, but I'm going to ask you if you'll come and see me afterwards. Will you do that for me? You can just nod your head. Will you come see me afterwards? Amen. Okay. Then for those of you who need boldness, you know that God has called you to be a hero. You need boldness. I want you to put up your hand. There's times you've been challenged to speak to somebody, but you've held back. Put up your hand. I'm going to pray. First and foremost, I'm going to pray for those that raise their hands to give their hearts to Jesus. Lord, just raise your hands again, those that put up their hands first. I pray for those that put up their hands this morning. I thank you this morning that they've had an appointment with you. They want to give their hearts and their lives to you because they know that there's a journey that lays before them. The very first thing they need to do is they're poor in spirit. We pray for life in their spirit. Make them rich in spirit as they receive you as their Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, they need to deal with the sins. And I thank you that by your grace, as they confess their sins, you forgive them. And Lord, I thank you that you set them on a path of growth. And they will not stay where they are. They're going to see you moving in and through their lives. And Lord, in a tremendous way, in a tremendous way. Pray this with me, church. And particularly those that put up their hands. Say this, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you can take me, who is poor in spirit, and give me life, and make me rich in spirit. I pray, cleanse me, and forgive me for my old life, and the sins that were part of it. Make me a new person today. And I receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now for the rest of us, say this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel or the name of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I'm willing, even if it takes persecution, to go, to be used by you, to do good works, and to be a hero. Give me strength today, Lord Jesus, to be bold and to be the hero that you called me to be. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. We're going to sing a song. Worship team, come forward quickly. Quickly, because it's nearing the end of time. Can I ask those people that put up their hand, if you would mind to come forward? I'm going to pray with you personally. Just those